So we're starting chapter 6 of Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, called The Noble and Most Ancient House of Black. Mrs. Weasley followed them upstairs, looking grim.
"I want you to all go straight to bed, no talking," she said as they reached the first landing. "We've got a busy day tomorrow. I expect Ginny's asleep," she added to Hermione, "so try not to wake her up."
"Asleep, yeah, right," said Fred in an undertone, after Hermione bade them good night and they were climbing onto the next floor. "If Ginny's not lying awake waiting for Hermione to tell her everything they said downstairs, then I'm a flabberworm."
"All right, Ron, here, what are the flabberworms again? Are those things that ate the lettuce?"
"Uh-huh."
"All right, Ron, Harry," said Mrs. Weasley on the second landing, pointing them into the bedroom. "Off to bed with you."
"Night," said Harry and Ron to the twins.
"Sleep tight," said Fred, winking. I don't even know what he means by that.
Yeah.
That's kind of dirty. Okay. Mrs. Weasley closed the door behind Harry with a sharp snap. The bedroom looked, if anything, even danker and gloomier than it had on first sight. The blank picture on the wall was now breathing very slowly and deeply, as though its invisible occupant was asleep. Harry put on his pajamas, took off his glasses, and climbed into his chilly bed, while Ron threw owl treats up to the top of the wardrobe to pacify Hedwig and Pigwidgeon, who were clattering around and rustling their wings restlessly. "We can't let them down to hunt every night," Ron explained as he pulled on his maroon pajamas. "Dumbledore doesn't want too many owls swooping around the square. Thinks it'll look suspicious." "Oh yeah, I forgot." He crossed to the door and bolted it shut. "What are you doing that for?" "Creature," said Ron as he turned off the light. "First night I was here, he came wandering in at 3 a.m. Trust me, you don't want to wake up and find him prowling around your room. Anyways." He got into his bed, settled under the covers, and then turned to look at Harry in the darkness. Harry could see his outline by the moonlight filtering through the grimy window. "What do you reckon?" Harry didn't need to ask what Ron meant. "Well, they didn't tell us much we couldn't have guessed, did they?" he said, thinking of all that had been said downstairs. "I mean, all they've really said is that the Order is trying to stop people joining Voldemort." There was a sharp intake of breath from Ron. "When are you going to start using his name?" Harry said firmly. "Sirius and Lupin do." Ron ignored this last comment. "Yeah, you're right," he said. "We already knew nearly everything they told us from using the extendable ears. The only new bit was..." There was a loud crack.
"Ouch! Keep your voice down, Ron, or Mom will be back up here. You two just apparated onto my knees."
"Yeah, well, it's harder in the dark." Harry saw the blurred outlines of Fred and George leaping down from Ron's bed.
"You know, that must be ridiculously difficult to apparate into a room. Like, the odds that you appear, like, in the middle of a bed or something."
Anyways. There was a groan of bed springs, and Harry's mattress descended a few inches as George sat down near his feet.
"So, got there yet?" said George eagerly.
"The weapon Sirius mentioned," said Harry.
"Let's slip, more like," said Fred with a relish, now sitting next to Ron. "We didn't hear about that on the old extendables, did we?"
"What do you reckon it is?" said Harry.
"Could be anything," said Fred.
"But there can't be anything worse than the Avada Kedavra curse, can there?" said Ron. "What's worse than death?"
"Death."
"Maybe it's something that can kill loads of people at once," suggested George.
"Maybe it's a particularly painful way of killing people," said Ron fearfully.
"He's got the Cruciatus curse for causing pain," said Harry. "He doesn't need anything more efficient than that." There was a pause, and Harry knew that the others, like him, were wondering what horrors this weapon could perpetrate.
"So who do you think's got it now?" said George.
"I hope it's on our side," said Ron, sounding slightly nervous.
"If it is, Dumbledore's probably keeping it," said Fred.
"Where?" said Ron quickly.
"Hogwarts?"
"You bet it is," said George. "That's where he hid the Sorcerer's Stone."
"A weapon's going to be a lot bigger than the stone, though," said Ron.
"Not necessarily," said Fred.
"Yeah, size is of no guarantee of power," said George. "Look at Ginny."
"What do you mean?" said Harry.
"You've never been on the receiving end of one of her bat-bogey hexes, have you?" said Fred, half rising from the bed. Listen. They fell silent. Footsteps were coming up the stairs again.
Mum,
said George, and without further ado there was a loud crack, and Harry felt the weight vanish from the end of the bed. A few seconds later, they heard the floorboard creak outside their door. Mrs. Weasley was plainly listening to see whether they were talking or not. Hedwig and Pidwidgeon hooted dolefully. The floorboard creaked again, and they heard her heading upstairs to check on Ron, Fred and George.
She doesn't trust us at all, you know, said Ron regretfully.
Harry was sure that he would not be able to fall asleep. The evening had been so packed with things to think about that he fully expected to lie awake for hours mulling it over. He wanted to continue talking to Ron, but Mrs. Weasley was now creaking downstairs again, and once she had gone, he distinctly heard others making their way upstairs. In fact, many-legged creatures were cantering softly up and down outside the bedroom door. And Hagrid, the care of magical creatures, teacher was saying,
"Beauties, ain't they, Harry? We'll be studying weapons this term."
And Harry saw that the creatures had cannons for heads, and were wheeling to face him. He ducked. The next thing he knew, he was curled up in a warm ball under his bedclothes, and George's loud voice was filling the room.
"Mum says get up. Your breakfast is in the kitchen, and then she needs you in the drawing room. There are loads more doxies than she thought, and she's found a nest of dead puffskins outside the sofa."
And I think we'll stop there. And next, we will see exactly what the next day is like for them.
I hope you like that, Kitty. I love you very much. You're a sweet girl. I hope you have a good night's sleep. Yeah. Good night.